A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. With this prayer, generation after generation of Christians have invited Jesus into their homes and to their tables at mealtime. Over the course of the average lifespan, a pious Lutheran might easily pray this little prayer to invite Jesus as a table guest between 50 and 75,000 times. So it might be prudent once in a while to think about what we're actually saying. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. It's been said it can be dangerous to invite Jesus into your house as a dinner guest. The Pharisees found this out on more than one occasion, and that was the case today in our text when Jesus told the parable of the great banquet. Luke chapter 14 begins, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully." Reminds you of the old adage, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So the Pharisees watched Jesus closely, only to discover to their dismay that he was also watching them. He saw how they had chosen the places of honor, and he called them on it. They were busted. And then he lectures them on a much-needed lecture on humility, including instructions on how they should host dinner parties or banquets, not invite friends, but the crippled, the poor, the lame, and the blind. Have you ever invited Jesus into your heart or into your home for dinner? We all say the prayer, or many of us do. Think back, just the last couple weeks or even the last couple days. What did Jesus actually hear going on at your dinner table? What did he see in your heart and in your mind? Well, the longer I think about it, the more I want to get back to the text. I think we'll go back to the Pharisees, where at least we can pretend to be safe. As Jesus was instructing those Pharisees, this unnamed guest speaks up. It's another dangerous thing to do, is start talking when Jesus is talking. But he does, and the amazing thing was he got it kind of right. Reminds me of a student sitting in a classroom, says nothing. Maybe there's a rather impressive professor there, frightening professor. And then one day he gets it. He just blurts it out. And the other students are going, oh, what's he going to say? And he just gets it. He just says, blessed. That's it. Blessed are everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God. And the professor looks at him and he kind of, with that look, he got it right. And the professor goes on, and with this comment, he reverses the roles of the host and the guest. I mean, whose banquet is it, really? Who's doing the inviting? And Jesus just goes with it. Their narrative began with the Pharisees telling, the Pharisees inviting Jesus to be the guest, but now it shifts and the narrative ends with Jesus being the host. It ends with the Lord's Supper. It ends with Jesus telling a story about a man who gave a great banquet and invited many. When the food was ready, he sent his servants to bring in those who had been invited by saying, "Come, for everything is now ready." But one after another, they insult the host, they make excuses, and they refuse to join the feast. So what does he do? Well, he gets boiling angry, and then he sends his servant out into town to invite the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. But there's still room. So he sends them out to the highways to compel people to come in because he wants the place filled. And then the narrative just ends, kind of abruptly, with the master saying, "I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my feast." I like that one. You can say, this is the gospel of the Lord. When you end that, it just ends. Now, the Pharisees knew where they would fit in to where Jesus was talking. The question is, where are you in the text? Is it the point of Jesus' text to urge you today to be involved in the mission of the church, to go out into those highways and byways and invite people to come in? Sure, broadly speaking, that we can include that. And in fact, you are actually doing that because you're sitting here, aren't you? You have come to the seminary, and you're preparing for this through your rigorous study. You're preparing for this through your regular worship and through the time you spent with your professors and fellow seminarians and friends. And one day you'll be ordained and sent out. But I think it's more precise to, when we ask the question, where are we in this text, to put ourselves in the place of those who were invited. Invited to this great banquet. Our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus, who invites us to the feast. We are the poor in spirit. We are the ones who are spiritually dead and spiritually blind. It doesn't take much to imagine what that first century was like. You can still see it in places in the world today where you've got the poor, the wretched, the filthy, the hungry, the lame, the crippled people. And in this story, you have the servant maybe literally picking up one of these lame, dirty guys and bringing him into the banquet. He looks around. I've heard of this place. I've never been in here before. And he can smell the food. It's warm. He hears the singing. He can't believe he's there. Well, literally, many of us, that's the way it was. We were picked up and carried in our parents' arms and brought into the banquet, into the Lord's house where we were baptized and washed up, cleaned up, a place where it's warm, a place where we are, where there's food and joy. Today, Jesus is watching us. We cannot see Him, but we can hear Him. We can listen to what He has to say to us today. Through His servants, He says, come, for everything is now ready. And then Jesus Himself says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Well, the great banquet of which Jesus speaks is the great marriage banquet of the Lamb, which is going on right now in heaven and will go on forever. And what do people do at weddings and wedding banquets? They eat, they drink, and they sing. The singing of this multitude of wedding guests at the Lamb's marriage feast is described by John as a roaring thunder. That's because the house is filled. The host got his way. The house is filled. So amid this thunderous singing, this thunderous heavenly liturgy, another person starts talking, an unknown person, but in this case an angel. He comes up to John and he says, blessed. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And that angel was talking about us. It's a shame we don't have the Lord's Supper here today. But we do have the Te Deum in the name of Jesus.